All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. David Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight as the Hoosiers once again played last night at Ohio State on the road and didn't show up quite enough early, fought their way through the rest of it, and kept the margin from early in the game till the final part of the game, but just never in sync on the road at Ohio State, where the Hoosiers of Archie Miller, a product of a lot of things, and we'll talk about all the things it is a product of, but it's a product of not showing up like you need to early in the game at Ohio State, first and foremost. Down 25-10 at the second TV timeout. That's a 15-point lead. The ending margin was 15 points. Do what you will with that. But the Hoosiers offensively not able to get going. 56 points on the road. It's a decent defensive team, Ohio State. It's a good defensive team, and they're playing fantastically just in general. Certainly the surprise of the Big Ten right now with only one loss in conference. But Glass, you got to show up early. And not only did the Hoosiers not show up in the first, you know, 5-8 minutes or so of this game, they had a struggle all night long offensively, had a struggle getting it inside to Juwan Morgan, had a struggle finishing at the rim, and once again are having struggles with their senior guards, which has been a theme of the season, and that's a bad theme for this team to have.
Yep, the old boxes that you check off game in and game out, or pregame and see how they're going throughout the game. We always talk about on the road, you don't have to play perfect, but you have to be pretty close, and that was not the case for Indiana. They led 5-4 on Zach McRoberts, scored the first 5 points at the 18:46 mark, and as you mentioned, 24-10 at the first second TV timeout. Indiana at the third TV timeout was down, what was the score there? They were down 27-12, so they scored, 7 points in 11 minutes on the road. And you're not going to beat anybody doing that. You dig a hole too deep, you really, good teams, especially with good teams, they're not going to let you back in those games. Mm-hmm. And you just try to find ways to get back into them. You try to find stops on the defensive end, which Indiana did, but they couldn't score any points to go along with them. They weren't going to beat anybody with the scoring output they had from their starting five. We'll give all the credit to the bench guys here in a minute. But when Zach McRoberts scored the first 5 points, mm-hmm. and then the next 31 minutes he played didn't score any. Robert Johnson had two for the night. Justin Smith had two for the night. And Josh Newkirk had zero for the night. So you can't possibly think or dream that things are going to go well if you don't get contributions from four of your five starters outside of the first couple minutes of the game.
Especially the two senior guards. I mean, we've talked about that. How is that going to be? How are seniors going to be a benefit to Archie Miller in his first season? And the answer is one of them's on the bench once again with another unfortunate injury, and two of them aren't living up to what you would hope they would do in their final years.
And the other part that's tough as well is every team knows that Indiana – has to have Johnson and Morgan go. So you take a chance and you're going to try to stop one of them. Great. Make somebody else beat you. You saw Ohio State running guys at Johnson, chasing him, hustling mm-hmm. him everywhere and saying, okay, McRoberts can beat us. Smith can beat us. Newkirk
right.
can beat us.
You
anybody
can have those
off
shots.
The butt? Yeah, you can. And you know what that is? That's good coaching mm-hmm. because Indiana, we've talked about the roster and how, I don't want to say limited. That sounds unfair. How imperfect it is. That's a little bit better because they don't have a volume guy that comes off the bench and can score. They don't have a volume guy that comes off the bench and gets rebounds. They don't have a guy that comes off the bench and can lock somebody down on the other side. Mm-hmm. All those guys are now starting because of the injuries and issues
right.
they've had.
I mean, you've
before.
Lost two important cogs
yeah.
to what this team was supposed to be.
There's no doubt about it. And you have to find guys to advance and show up and get after it night in and night out. And that's the key to this. This is exactly what we're talking about. I can tell you about Justin Smith scoring 20 at Minnesota because it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one. Yeah. I can tell you about Devontae Green. He had 20
scoring 20
last
against
night,
the last eight.
And he
right.
had 16 against – he made some free throws in the Penn State game.
He was,
you can mark about every fourth game when he plays well.
That's, Devontae Green was 6 of 10 last night.
4 or 5 from 3.
I marked it backwards. Going back to the Fort Wayne game, the loss against Fort Wayne,
yeah.
he was shooting 23%.
Yeah, that's tough. Because
he shot 6 of 10 last
but what
night,
it is,
which is great, but that's
but what
it's
is,
an anomaly.
But what it is inconsistent. That,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
the whole problem with it because you can name the great performances they've had. And this is why fans get frustrated. They see Justin Smith get 20 on the road at Minnesota against a pretty good front court.
Yeah.
Minnesota's always,
mm-hmm.
you know, with with the double-double machine, Jordan Murphy up there, and Coffee and some other guys. Yeah. Again, 20 on the road, that's nothing to scoff at. And Indiana wins that game. And that's the frustrating part, because fans see that and say, why can't you do that every night? Well, if Indiana did that every night, they'd be a ranked team. They'd be up fighting with Ohio State, Michigan State, and Purdue for the top three spots in the league. But when you have inconsistent play, these are the byproducts of it. Remember the Al Durham turnover streak earlier in the year? Yeah. We played six games and only turned it over twice or whatever it was. He did that. So it's obvious he has ability. He scored in double figures a couple of times as well.
Well, he was playing at one point because he wasn't making mistakes, not because he was lighting up.
Absolutely right. But all freshmen are going to go through this. Some of the sophomores that maybe – I mean, who's the other sophomore besides Devontae Green?
Curtis Jones.
And he's no longer with the program. So, I mean, so you've got a guy that transfers. You've got Deron Davis, the sophomore, who's hurt for the year.
That's right.
And then you've got a 16th-year senior who can't get healthy, and it's just – those are pieces of the puzzle that you would hope to have had to move around and not stick a guy with 28 minutes where he doesn't score any points, or lean on a senior guard to play 35 minutes and only score 2 points because there's nobody else to replace them with.
They're 12-11, and you know,
and they're 5-6 in the league, which is decent. That's fine.
I mean, as you lose guys like Deron Davis and Colin Hartman,
it's not going to get better.
That's what you get, and this is the toughest stretch of their schedule. We'll talk more about that in a few minutes, but again, it's 7 games in 18 days. They're 1-4 now in these games. Yep. It is a tough schedule, and it's against tough teams.
It is.
It's not just the timing, okay? Ohio State, nobody looked at this at the beginning of the season and said this was the toughest road trip you had on your schedule, and maybe it's not, but it's right up there right now because of how well they're playing, because that's a surprise.
Between Purdue and Michigan State.
Yeah, exactly, and that got thrown in there, and then you get Michigan State coming to town. So,
but the tough part
is, it's a series of unfortunate stuff, but you got to fight your way through
somehow. But the performance part of it is, when you inconsistently shoot the basketball, when you have inconsistent performances, you get inconsistent results. And at one point, Indiana was 5-3, and
that's right.
I believe they were 5-3 and going to Illinois, who hadn't won a game. They could have.
That's correct.
Is that right?
They've lost three straight.
So 6-3, coming home to Purdue, feeling pretty good about yourself. Who knows what happens there? I don't know if Hartman still gets hurt. I don't know. Deron Davis, we know, is not going to play.
Right.
But the tough part is, there's three things this team doesn't do very well, and it just comes home to roost night in and night out every time we talk about it. And I'm not telling anybody that doesn't follow basketball about it. Indiana doesn't shoot the three very well, so they don't have that explosion of points, which helps get you out of some tough situations, stop runs and the like. They don't shoot free throws very well. So if you're attacking the basket and you're getting to the foul line, 10 of 18 last night.
Which they've done pretty well in some games.
That's the consistency factor we're talking about. You can point out the really good ones that stick out like a sore thumb, and then the rest of the time it's no, they don't shoot it very well from the free throw line. And the other thing is, and even when Deron Davis was there, he had some great field goal numbers, but again, this team, besides Juwan Morgan, and that's been you could stop the whole sentence right there. This team, besides Juwan Morgan, you can just stop.
Yeah.
Doesn't finish very well at the basket. So when they're getting easy shots, they don't finish. I think at one point last night, Indiana missed, at one count, was it up to 8 layups?
Yeah.
And if you're missing layups and not knocking down threes and not knocking down free throws, I don't know where else you go for points.
Right.
It's not the 15-foot jump shot.
Well,
that's for sure. So you pile that all together, and this is why things are difficult. Throw in you're playing against Purdue, Ohio State, and whoever else. I can see why times are tough right now. You're doing it on a shoestring roster. We just told you about the guys that aren't there anymore. You're doing it on the toughest schedule you're ever going to play, and you're doing it with a bench that's so thin that the one guy that gives you a good bench performance really stands out, because these games you don't have any other bench performances that stand out.
Yeah, I mean, they
Freddie McSwain had a nice game, but
last night, the boards were the other things that stood out. I mean,
and that's an anomaly, because Indiana's been rebounding.
They've been rebounding really well. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple recently, Michigan State and Maryland. They were under. In double digits, but you know, obviously they win the Maryland game. Michigan State, I mean, that's that game itself was, you know, everything kind of went wrong in that game anyways. But this one, you know, minus 13 on the boards, you know, that made a huge difference, because there weren't a lot of boards out there for how well Ohio State shot the
ball. Ohio State was 67% for three quarters of the first half.
Yeah, I think I read they're the best 2-point shooting team in the Big Ten. I mean, and then they got what they wanted out of it. I do want to ask you about the defense for
Indiana.
Let's
talk about the rebounding really quick, because I think there's a point to go with this. Mm-hmm. When you're on a turnaround like Indiana is, when you're on a 7 games in 17 days streak, if you're not finishing at the rim and you're not getting rebounds,
yeah.
you're not exploding.
Right.
And you want to say it's an excuse? You can say that. I'm not trying to make it as one, but I can point out when guys aren't making shots, it's not because they're always taking bad shots.
Right.
Indiana's had a bunch of open shots that don't go in. Indiana's had a bunch of plays at the rim that haven't gone in. If guys can't explode, if guys can't get after it, if guys aren't getting the second balls, if they're not blocking shots or getting steals, no block shots in this game against Ohio State, 5 steals. Okay, remember when it was 8-10 against Maryland,
yeah.
and everybody was happy. Well, that's because something's happening, and if guys are dead on their feet, and guys are trying to play through it, that's part of the issue. And it's not an effort. I don't think Archie Miller's ever brought up effort with this team from wire to wire, saying, you know, these guys quit or they don't play hard. Now
right.
they go into spurts where they don't play very well. That's how you get down 19, 17, 20 points. I get that. That's human. That's basketball. That's going to happen for teams that don't have a roster of 10 guys that they have a rotation for and play and do that. So I think that is part of it, and that has to do with the schedule. And whether we like it or not, these are kids. These are not NBA players. They do not spend they only get a certain amount of time with the team each week,
yeah.
and they have to have mandatory days off. It's not the optimum way. It has not been the dream first season. There's no doubt about it. But what do? You can't throw your hands up and say, well, we're going to just take a couple days off because we feel sorry for ourselves. No. You go to the game. You try to make the best of it. You try to take the positives from it and then coach them up and do it again against Michigan State. It doesn't get any easier.
Indiana scored 56 points. They only had 8 turnovers. If you tell me before the game they only have 8 turnovers, I feel pretty good about the situation.
And if they made 6 threes on the road, I might even give you another. Hey,
I mean,
well, that's kind of better.
They haven't been making a lot of threes. You're exactly right there. I think they maybe only have one game where they've made double-digit three-pointers this year, and that was early in the season. That was Eastern Michigan, going back that far.
Yeah, they hit 12 in that one, didn't they?
So shooting from deep, we know, is not their strength. They haven't been trying to rely on it. I mean, that's the smart thing there, but their offense just never able to get going and not able to create. I mean, that's where the rebounding comes in, not able to create a lot of easy chances and breaks and things like that. Give Ohio State a good bit of credit. I mean, they played their butt off. We knew they were coming off a big loss.
Yeah, at home.
A surprising loss at home to Penn State, to a team that came into their own place and punched them in the mouth. So we knew they heard for 3 or 4 days about that game, and there was going to be a lot of pride brought in. It's easy to have watched that game last night and say Indiana just didn't put in the effort. And you mentioned the effort a second ago, but it seems to me that you don't stick around in that game with the same margin at the minimum. You get your doors blown off like happened
like
to Michigan
Rutgers,
State.
Or like Rutgers did it
or
at
like
Illinois
Rutgers
last
did
night,
at
down
Illinois.
40.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to make too much out of a positive when you get your butt kicked on the road, but I think we know the schedule's tough. We know that the roster is depleted at this point and had its issues to begin with. But at the very least, what you got something out of it for a while.
I don't accept it, but I understand why it's happening.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Is that something?
I think that's reasonable.
I think Archie said that after the Purdue game. We're not sitting in the locker room patting ourselves on the back.
Clapping about it.
Because
yeah.
we gave Purdue a big run for 37 minutes and shut it down in the last three.
Right.
That's not something that these teams or his teams are ever going to be measured on. What I think is the development of guys moving forward. Devontae Green got 4 minutes against Purdue.
Yeah.
If he quit, was done, fed up with it, tired of it, he's not in the game.
Yeah.
He's not getting you 20.
Right.
There's something there.
There's something that happened in a day and a half.
There's something there that works.
Well, it might have been pure luck. I mean, let's be fair. In a day, it might have been pure luck.
But my point is, it would have been easier to say, the hell with it, I'm done.
Screw it, yeah.
He's not going to play me against Purdue at home. Why should I be ready to play on the road Tuesday night against Ohio State?
Right.
Well, I give Devontae Green full credit there. Devontae Green has been like this for 2 years.
Yeah.
Devontae Green shines and burns as bright as the sun and goes as cold as the North Pole in some games.
He did this
Why?
In the second half when we were down 15,
Why?
20 points.
Because they're kids
yeah.
who don't
yeah.
have a ton of minutes under their belt. How many times did Troy Williams get 26 points when Indiana's down 25?
No question.
It's happened. Somebody has to score and get this going. But what I'm more interested in is now that this loss has taken place, and the two losses took place in 72 hours or whatever that time frame was, which isn't 72 hours if you count it properly. What's something has to – the critical mass has not made the leap forward. You haven't seen Justin Smith play 3 good games in a row. You haven't seen Devontae play 3 good games in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Smith's a freshman. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
If Smith's a top 25 recruit nationally, you have different sets of expectations
for
him.
Correct.
Devontae Green has shown you at Seton Hall. He has shown you at the end of the Penn State, the second half of Penn State game is excellent.
Right.
He played really well, made all his free throws down the stretch, and then goes away for a couple games. Illinois was good.
No, it goes away for a lot of games.
Illinois was good. He played the second half of Illinois. Yeah. It was good. Made a bad pass at the end. Okay, well, all that other stuff that helped you get to where that was, I don't put it on one play. But what we haven't seen from Durham, Smith, Newkirk, Green, McSwain is not an offensive guy,
no,
so I can't throw him into that.
A guy who's not supposed to be playing 10 minutes a night.
From a complete scoring angle, the next step in this development is do it again. And I've said that before.
Right.
Do it again. And that's the hardest thing to do because really good teams have consistent guys. Look what Ohio State simply did last night. Mm-hmm. 16, 14, 13, 10, 9. Yeah. That's their starting five.
Yeah.
What does that add up to? 26 and 9 is 35, 39, 35 and 20, 62. They'd have won. Didn't play anybody else.
Yeah.
They had 62.
Mm-hmm.
So if Indiana has to, that's the balance. That's the optimum way to do it. It's great when you go to Minnesota and Johnson gets 21 and Smith gets 20 and Juwan gets 28.
Right.
And you get 68 that way.
But then you know you have to do that almost all
happen?
The time. Yeah, you have to do that
so
all the time.
So that's why it's so important for these other guys to find a role, to find comfortability in it. But again, none of them on a consistent basis are knocking down threes. None of them on a consistent basis are even given that consistent minutes. And that's why Josh McRoberts plays 33 minutes a night, because he brings it on defense. He brings it. He's got to guard Bates, Diop.
Yeah.
How'd he do?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
He's pretty solid.
I mean, comparatively,
Well, Bates, Diop got about 9 under his average.
Yeah, 13. The guy's a player of the year.
And he got 2 garbage baskets late.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 3 or 4 minutes.
5 of 13. I mean,
that's not the
guy.
He
did hit the boards, but
he did hit the boards because he got a couple tip his own misses on his layups.
Right.
Okay. Bates, Diop is a nice player. But McRoberts plays because he's consistent. People don't like to hear it. You say, Glass, he only scored 5 points in the first 90 seconds,
right,
and you're telling me he's consistent. I didn't say anything about his offense. I said he's consistent. He doesn't
throw
the ball away.
He can be counted on for what he does.
He blocks shots. Right. He defends. He rebounds. He gets loose balls.
He had 2 assists. He had 3 steals. I mean, again, Hoosiers ought to like this kid.
He doesn't have to be this guy that scores.
I think if Zach McRoberts is your whipping boy for this team,
you got your head's got to be examined.
You haven't been watching a lot of IU basketball.
No. And you
most
want...
IU basketball fans would love this kid.
Yes.
Now, would they want him to score more because they don't want a guy out there who is a potentially an offensive liability? I think we all understand
Throw this in that category
as right
well.
Now, there's a lot of offensive liabilities
when
out
do
there.
You sit back and say, I can't believe McRoberts took 15 bad shots tonight?
Yeah, I mean...
You got to give to get.
Or Zach McRoberts killed us tonight. That never happens. We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some quick programming notes for you. We do have high school basketball this week. It's girls' sectional week, so the boys' schedules are a little all over the place, but we do have one tomorrow night. This is Thursday night high school basketball this week, North at Edgewood. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk, and 7:30 is tip-off for that county matchup. Ought to be rocking.
Should be a good
one. Out there in the corral.
Tasty, tasty, tasty. South's playing tonight against Owen Valley, so we'll have a full update for you on that tomorrow morning. And sadly, South girls and Edgewood girls both were knocked out of the IHSA sectionals. Last night, both a tough ask for both. Number one,
absolutely.
Edgewood's got to go to Owen Valley. They're 5th in Class 3A, they had 19
really
wins.
Yep.
So you go to their home court, and then South has to go all the way to St. Leon, to take on East Central on their home court.
That's like almost 2-hour drive over there. I mean,
Addy Blackwell hits 4 threes in the fourth quarter to try to dig South out of a 41-27 hole. Couldn't do it. So North will play East Central in the girls' sectional semifinals. They had the bye. They'll do that on Friday, so they are our last hope for the county on the girls' side. So the boys' schedule. You asked me when I walked in how you doing. I said I have no idea. We got a game tomorrow night.
Looking at that.
Got to get ready for North and Edgewood. Terry Stoltz will have Chalk Talk with both coaches at 7, and I'll join him on the call just after 7:30.
Looking forward to the weekend. Saturday we have college basketball again. We got all kinds of college basketball on our schedule on WGCLRadio.com. This week it is Duke once again. They're on the road up to the Madison Square Garden to face St. John's. 11:45 is pregame noon tip-off in that one.
And Johnny's almost beat Xavier last night. That was a nip-and-tuck affair to the last 10 seconds.
And then Sunday we've got, of course, the Super Bowl, as we always do. 2 o'clock starts the coverage here on WGCL, kickoff around 6:30 for that. We will, of course, be back with you Monday night. Looks like Terry and I will be doing the show
Monday night,
as you will be a little busy, as the Hoosiers will be at Rutgers. So looking back, before we look forward, looking back on last night. Look, we've told you there's a product of a lot going on right now. There's the roster. There are the injuries. There is the schedule. This is a difficult stretch of schedule. You have to play it. You do. And you know what happens when you have a difficult schedule? Sometimes you slip up, and the Hoosiers did last night.
Well, the other side of that coin is you also will find out who's up for the fight.
Okay, who was up for the fight last
night? Well, Devontae Green showed you that.
he waited until the second half. He scored 5 in the first half. He did the same thing he normally does. They just went in for a couple times.
I'll
take it if we're going to get something like that more regularly.
I'll take 30 minutes and no turnovers.
Here's my problem.
30 minutes and no turnovers. That's something.
Here's my issue is I expected throughout the course of the season, as you mentioned earlier, I expected freshmen and even to some degree sophomores to struggle a bit from night to night. Maybe even frequently. So a Justin Smith early in the season where he was playing 3 minutes a game thing, I didn't like it, but I wasn't all that shocked by it. He's getting more minutes now. He's being more consistent. He's not always scoring every night, but he's being more consistent or he wouldn't be out there. But what you've seen is you've seen Curtis Jones didn't play early. Now he's gone. Devontae Green is at his moments where he's played a ton of minutes and he's played no minutes. Robert Johnson goes through periods where he doesn't score, but he plays a lot. So he's doing something out there for the team that Archie Miller likes. And recently he has been scoring, this game not in particular. But now all of a sudden you've got Josh Newkirk in there. And now Newkirk and Durham are your guys that aren't getting any minutes. And so it's that affliction or whatever it is seems to move to almost everybody on the roster.
Yeah, McRoberts
is consistent in what he does every night, which is why he continues to get his minutes, but he wasn't playing at the beginning of the year. And Morgan is the one guy that you can pretty well count on every night. And he's clearly, I mean, I think you're only going to see more of this potentially. He's clearly gassed if you got to do that much that frequently.
I think Archie's comments last night about Devontae were he's starting to figure out why he's going to stay on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And zero turnovers in 30 minutes is definitely part of it.
Him
because, well, that's the whole deal. You have to learn and get through these times in the tougher times. And even taking 10 shots, hitting 6 of them, 4 or 5 from 3, 4 or 5 free throws as well. I mean, yes, the game was decided for the most part while this is all happening. But when you get it down to 12 with 8 minutes to go, it's not over yet. You're in the ball game.
He took a few Devontae Green specials.
He did, but I don't think you want.
Just went in.
I don't think you want that ever to go away because that's what makes part of it.
Well,
him.
That's what I was trying to go with.
I don't
this.
Think we can ever take that completely out. And I think Archie understands that because look how much the 4 against Purdue.
Right.
And in the 4 minutes he played against Purdue. If you go back and watch the tape, he didn't have any points. He didn't have any assists. He had a really bad turnover. He got lost a couple times on defense. To the greater point here, he didn't get a play anymore because he didn't help.
Well,
when Newkirk last night didn't help, somebody had to go in to help.
Here's the thing. I see Newkirk similarly to Devontae Green in this. If you try to shackle too much, you're exactly right. You're going to get a guy who's in his own head. And I think that happened for a long time with Devontae Green. I'm looking at Devontae Green's season stats here. In his last 7 games, he's got 7 turnovers. Now, you hop in the game and you get in your first 2 minutes, you've created 2 turnovers. You're not going to get a lot more minutes or more opportunities to
really good
zero that out again.
Didn't have a really good night against Purdue.
Right.
And so Archie Miller with
had 1 turnover in 4 minutes.
That's yeah,
and 1 shot,
and the turnover was terrible.
It was a one-handed pass after
McRoberts made a great save on an offensive rebound, and it was a bad decision. And I think that's what if you figure out not to make those decisions, you'll stay on the floor because Josh Newkirk, Al Durham, and Devontae are all battling for those minutes. Because if you're not producing, Archie has shown you on whatever night it is. It's not going to happen. He took Newkirk out at Illinois because he had a game like this.
Well,
Devontae played there.
Against Illinois, Newkirk walked in and started throwing the ball away right away.
He had four turnovers in 12 minutes.
He had 1 turnover last night in 14 minutes.
Okay, now turnovers.
Now, he didn't hit a shot. Now,
turnovers are other ways to look at it. Turnovers are the
straight. Yeah, I mean, a bad shot is
a bad
as
shot
good
bad
as
shot.
A turnover. I get that part.
Exactly right. If it's a one-pass shot or a no-pass shot, and you're not shooting 40% from 3.
But where's
you've got to know a little bit.
I'm totally with you. But where is the line?
What's he shoot from 3?
Where is the line between a good shot or a bad shot that goes in and a bad shot that doesn't go in?
Because
I like Devontae Green's game if you let him have some freedom to do what he did in the second half, just like he did at Seton Hall. But you're going to have to accept that occasionally that's not going to be the shot you're going to be happy about.
I can only I can only be hypothetical on this because I'm not in the timeouts. I'd love to be. If Archie spends 3 minutes, 2 minutes and 45 seconds of the first
talking
horn.
About value in the ball.
And not taking the first shot we see because we need to move it. And Juwan Morgan has to touch it every time. If you go four possessions and you don't pass it to Juwan.
If he tells you point blank and you don't do it. I mean, I get that part.
If he tells the huddle point blank and the first thing you do is get a pass and you say, well, I'm kind of open. If you, it's just like the internet. If you're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, if you have to think to myself, should I post this or not?
The answer is no.
It's always no. If you look and catch the ball at 25 feet and you say, oh, man, if you even have to cross your mind and think about it or you fumble it a little bit, don't shoot it.
Yeah.
Go to Juwan Morgan. Yeah. He's averaging 26 points in the last three games before last night. You can't go five possessions. I don't care who, out of Freddie, Rob, Josh, Smith, you name them all.
Yeah.
If you don't find or be patient and wait for Morgan, you haven't proven through the rest of the season that's a good idea.
No, there's one guy that I'll take my chances with, but most of the time I'd still like
Robert
to get
Johnson.
To Morgan. Yeah,
Robert Johnson has a look, he's a senior,
he should
know what it is, and some guys are forcing themselves trying to get hot to get out of their head.
Yeah.
If I make a tough one here, well, if you're already down 12, you've had enough tough ones as a group,
Robert gets
so that
in,
shot can be a turnover.
Robert gets in his own head, it seems like, selfishly, from the standpoint, well, let me reword that, from the standpoint of he doesn't want to be selfish anymore. That's what seemed to happen last night. He had a couple looks where maybe they were a little questionable, but you know what? You're the senior. You've been playing well recently. Go ahead. And they don't go in. And then all of a sudden he says, I can't hit Jack. Now I'm not going to shoot anymore.
And
they got up in him. I mean,
Ohio
they did.
Ohio State had a good game plan for him. They frustrated him.
You're going to see a lot more of that where people stay way off of Zach and people stay way off of Freddie and don't let Newkirk into the lane. I mean, they're going to force this more and more.
And you know, everybody takes bad shots in games. Juwan Morgan had a couple bad. I get it. That happens. But it's time, space, down, and distance. You have to know all those things. If you're down 12, I don't want Freddie McSwain shooting 15-foot jumpers on the baseline. I don't think Coach Miller does either.
No, probably not.
I don't think that's what they talk about in the huddle. There's a reason you're open. There's a reason guys are open. And if you're open at 24, 25 feet and you kind of fumble it a little bit, just.
But after the drive you had at Purdue where you went from like 20 feet and up
do
and
that.
Under and all that.
Do that.
Off the top of the backboard.
Do that. Do that.
Freddie, I like that move. I love that.
9 points and six rebounds.
Yeah, I mean,
if Freddie could do that, a good game against Purdue. Mm-hmm. But it's got to come. It's got to keep happening and keep going. But sometimes bad shots are turnovers. You don't get anything out of it. Archie's even talked about free throws like that. He said, look, if we're getting to the foul line, missing layups because the guy's fouling us, and we don't make two free throws, well, that's essentially a wasted possession.
And he has said point blank in a recent press conference, I can't track which
one is
which, where he said, if we're missing free throws, then we need to get in the gym and start practicing free throws.
And they have been. And we talked about that on Saturday when we met with Colin Hartman and Josh McRoberts before the Purdue game on Sunday. They said, we have free throw competitions. We have guys that you do this, you do that.
You're still 10 of 18.
Well, guess who your leading free throw shooter was?
Colin Hartman.
There you go. Absolutely right. And then he goes and gets hurt at practice that afternoon. Yeah. So he's out for at least this week, it seems like. We'll see what happens at Rutgers. But when free throws don't go in, when layups don't go in, when you're taking bad shots as opposed to working through your star player who's shooting 65% from the field, that's as good as a turnover is my extended point there. And it doesn't matter who's doing it. Juwan Morgan, even out of a timeout, got it at the elbow, took on two guys, fadeaway 10-footer. No, that's not the shot you want.
Right.
But guess what happens when you're tired? What's the first thing that goes when you're tired? I tell you this all the time.
It's your mind and your legs.
Brain goes. And then your legs don't fire and you can't do the things you think you can always do. It's not an excuse, but these teams have to, when you're in that situation, they have to find better shots because look at their field goal percentage from three.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to shoot your way out of it.
Right.
Archie said this after the Illinois game. Or maybe it was the Purdue game. Hey, we're 22 games in.
Right.
We are what we are.
Yeah, Monday.
And that's why I think the carousel from the guard position besides Johnson is going. Because if you're not going to listen to what we're talking about in the huddle.
Next guy up. Let's see.
He's going to have a chance.
And if
Al Durham hits his first three-pointer since December.
Yeah.
Okay. Get hot and do it for a week or two.
Well,
that'd be great.
Look, we knew at the beginning of the season this was going to be difficult because there were situations. Now, there could have been different decisions with the roster in the offseason. I'm not going to go real far into that. But it is what it is. And now you're dealing with injuries that have depleted that. It is a different team than you expected to that went out on the floor the other night. That said, I mean, this team never looked like a top three, top four Big Ten team. Now, I think neither did Ohio State to
10th,
most
11th yeah, to
yeah,
most
yeah, I think
people.
They were picked at 10th sure. or 11th, and Ohio State was 9th. Ohio State's got some things going right for them.
They do.
And it's not just last night that that's happened for them.
Nope. They have a nice balance. They have a nice balanced roster. They get a graduate transfer in Andrew Dockett, who didn't kill Indiana last night, but he played 21 minutes and was pretty perfunctory with the basketball.
He's doing McRoberts type things. I mean, not exactly the stat line, but he's doing the smart things and getting at the right places.
Kata Bates, Diop, and Morgan cancel themselves out. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. But then you put up all the rest of the starters versus the other starters. And, yeah, it's one game. It's not fair to do, but that's what happens when you're playing a team heads up and you're playing that team. You have to look at that.
At 6'4", I'd take Deshaun Tate any day of the week, by the way.
Because he's 230.
Yeah.
He plays like a bowling ball.
For 4 years now, he's driving you crazy.
And he drives the whole league crazy. Yeah. And he still takes some bad shots and he still takes some bad plays. So everybody does it. This is not something that's just infecting Indiana. That's not the case at all. But what the point is Al Durham, Justin Smith have never been relied on for any kind of minutes, nor should they have been because they are freshmen.
Right.
Devontae Green had moments. He's had a career of moments. Yeah. We have not seen a month of play, 2 weeks of play, three games of play where you say that's what's happening. And some of that is coach. Some of that is self-inflicted. Some of that was because last year you had Johnson and James Blackman, and those guys weren't going to come out very often. Right. I understand all of that. The expectation to put on this roster that is limited is tough. But what we have seen is this team has battled Duke 75 all with 5 minutes to go. Purdue 65-64, 3 minutes to go. You can pull out the examples, but the problem is it doesn't happen every night. Remember, they led at Illinois for the first 28 minutes.
Yeah.
They didn't stink up the joint.
Not at all. No.
And I don't mean that as any kind of moral victory.
They played great in the first half.
Truth was.
They really did.
But we haven't seen many games. This one in the Michigan State game where it started early, it got ugly, it was almost a carbon copy. I believe it was 27-10 at East Lansing as well.
Yeah, I know it was 25-10 in this one.
And
so.
I think it was 20. It was not good. It was 27-10. Yeah. It was after a three-point play or something. I don't even want to remember what it was. But until you find that consistency, until you find the pieces of your roster, and I know everybody says, well, with the recruiting class coming in, there's help on the way. There's always help on the way with the recruiting class, and it doesn't matter if it's this year or 10 years from now. It's always fresh something, whether it's competition in practice, whether whether it's guys that have a different skill set that this team desperately needs, which I think sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
But the tough part is for Indiana right now, they have tried everything besides Tim Priller and Clifton Moore.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what it's been.
Clearly, they're not getting off the bench right now.
Clifton Moore, you saw last, I believe, at Northwestern, came in and blocked a couple shots on a Sunday afternoon. I don't believe you've seen him for more than a minute since then. Tim Priller has had injury problems. We know that in and out. Remember, this is the same Tim Priller that played at Purdue last year. He was in the game.
He got a few minutes late in the season in a couple games.
But he's a senior that's on your roster that, again,
he's played 2 minutes this year.
Right. When these pieces don't all come together and then you lose pieces from it, you can see why it's tough. So Robert Johnson has to play like a first-team all-Big Ten guard every night out. That's a big expectation to stick on anybody, especially a guy that's never been the number one option.
Yeah.
And Juwan Morgan, that's what people have to understand. He has been incredible. Dan Dockett said this. Dan said he hasn't been good. He's been great. He's been
First team All Big Ten.
He has been better than great.
Yeah.
He has been asked to do everything. I don't know if you heard the pregame interview with Fisher last night. Hey, guarding the post again. Here I am. Guarding the post. Why? Because he can.
Yeah.
He has to guard and do everything for this team. And talk about a guy that's never had any expectation on him to do anything.
Yeah.
Hey, Juwan, how about this leadership thing? Is this something you were looking forward to? Well, not really. It kind of found me, but here I am trying to do it. That's your shining light.
Yeah.
That's your marquee. That's your box office kid right there.
Right.
Because it's easy to say, whoa. I'm not ready. This isn't me.
I think you've seen a lot of that.
He grew up in a military family. This interview was great last night. Hmm. I didn't know all this. They used to go to PT with mom, and the mom's in the military. Mom.
Hmm.
And they go and see that, and they say, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. We saw how hard they worked for us, all the kids, and do all that. So if you're wondering the question was, where'd you get your toughness?
Yeah.
Well, shoulders out of place, ankles broken, foot hurts, knees banged up a little bit. Who's out there 31 minutes after that?
Yeah.
36 minutes after that? That kid's unbelievable. That kid's going to go down no matter what happens in this season. I hope he goes – if he goes pro next year, that means he's qualified to do so. I don't want that to happen because I'm a greedy fan. But the first 23 games of this season, whatever it's been, show me a better Hoosier. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Wait.
And I think everybody needs to recognize not only that, but the improvement he's made on the floor. Because you and I have talked about it off and on the air. I mean, the guy's hands, his footwork is incredible.
Passing, timing.
Defensively.
Patience.
I mean, he's had a couple of recent games where he's been in some foul trouble.
I can go down the list.
But he's been very good about that all year long. I mean, the thing – and being asked to do everything he's doing.
Juwan Morgan has earned the right to take bad shots, and he doesn't.
No question.
But he doesn't do it.
No, but he doesn't do it.
That's the
ultimate.
This
is a couple layups because he's always right around the bucket, but everybody does.
And he's fighting – fighting guys that are bigger than him and stronger than him because that's where he's forced to play because of Indiana's situation.
Now let's just keep extra bodies out of the lane. That's what bugged me early in this game against Ohio State. Too many bodies in there. Too many people
cholesterol
running through. We're trying to get the ball to that guy. Stay away from him. Let him clear some space.
He'll find you, and he's done that before. But I don't want this to get lost because of the record or whether this team this kid has been – above and beyond the call of duty. Is that a complete homer point of view? I don't think so.
No.
I think you need to watch the game a little bit closer and see. You're just used to it now because he's done it so often.
Yeah.
And that's the level you want everybody to get to. And when you have one guy doing it, that's why it's a little tough. You get 2.5 guys. Well, Archie said after the game last night, I had 2.5 or 3 guys competing physically in the game. One is.
Again, I said on Monday, I don't know that there's a more valuable player to his team in the Big Ten.
And he's the best player.
There are more talented, maybe. Yeah. You know, there's other guys that are going to get those other accolades, but he's the most valuable to his team.
By a mile.
Got to take a break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Again, programming notes for you. We've got high school basketball this week, but it's tomorrow night, Thursday night. North is at Edgewood tomorrow. Tip-off is 7:30, and Chalk Talk will be at 7 o'clock with both coaches tomorrow night because it is the county matchup. Friday we take off, but Saturday we've got college basketball. Duke is at the Garden to play St. John's. 11:45 starts the pregame for that on Saturday. And Sunday, it's Super Bowl day. 2 p.m. starts all the festivities off, and it'll go all throughout the evening. Other notes, too. We've got the Olympics coverage coming up before too terribly long. We'll give you more information on the future.
February
on that.
9th.
Yeah, but we'll have some stuff for the Olympics on that, and there's more Road to the Super Bowl stuff this week.
Tonight, 10 o'clock. What's tonight? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then obviously that'll take you 7 days until Sunday. Super Bowl coverage, as you mentioned, at 2 p.m., and then a week from tonight, Dave and I will have a special In the Zone presentation. It will be the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame announcement show. We'll be joined by Kit Klingelhofer and Dr. Dave Piller and members of the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Mick Schaff. That's how you should just say it. Mick Schaff.
There you go.
MickSchaff.wordpress.com has all your ticketing information for the July 13th event, except who those inductees will be. We'll announce them next Wednesday night. That'll be fun. Bobby's Colorado Steakhouse. Join us over there. The event is open to the public, and you can hear it all live with us next Wednesday.
Hoosiers still have two tough games, another quick turnaround. They get a couple days off before they host Michigan State. That'll be an 8:15 game on ESPN. So that'll be a big crowd, big event, big time. Time to get sauced up a little bit.
That they've handled the Duke and the Purdue, and they've beaten Maryland, and they've beaten they've beaten Northwestern.
They competed against those teams.
Yeah,
Michigan State's going to be the second most talented team on their. Outside of Duke?
Purdue's pretty talented.
Yeah. There are a lot of seniors that are playing pretty well, too.
Carson Edwards is a sophomore.
Michigan State might have more NBA guys. Not even an argument worth having. They're one of the best teams that are going to play all year long.
They are. And
how do the Hoosiers bounce back off of this
simple
in only a couple days and get up for that game?
Number one, they do have a couple days, and that's the good news there. They'll have time to get filmed in. They'll have time to digest a scouting report, practice the scouting report. Those things do help. Look how much better it was against Purdue. Look how it was for Duke when they had time to get prepared
right.
for some of these things. They were also pasted in East Lansing. If you have any pride, the pasting you took should it factor into your preparation and should factor into the way you should get started and focus you in. Because Michigan State's really good. And how does Indiana compete against really good teams? Well, they've showed you the process has got to be balanced. It has to be multiple guys besides Robert Johnson and Juwan Morgan scoring. Mm-hmm. It has to be Newkirk. It has to be Green. It has to be McRoberts. All those guys have to contribute. We can't look at the bench scoring and see there's 6 points with 4 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to be there. And if you're not contributing offensively, what do? You get into Langford. You get into Cassius Winston. You get on the glass. You double on. You dig on Nick Ward. And you get Miles Bridges off the basketball. You have to do something besides score if you're in the ballgame.
Their three-point defense has been much better the last several games.
Credit where credit's due, and that's part of it.
He was dead last in the Big Ten and nearly that in nationally for a while there. And it has improved. So that's a good thing.
What does Michigan State like to do? They love to get out and transition. They love to pound the ball inside.
And they're going to have an edge inside. I mean, I know we got Morgan, but you got Ward, you got Bridges, you got the whole list of guys.
You've got Schilling,
I mean, a whole bunch of dudes.
That's why they're good. They have a lot of weapons. Yeah. So what does Indiana do to neutralize those weapons? Boy, you pray one of these nights a three-point shot's going to show up.
Right.
But again, that's a short-term solution to a long-term problem. But why not against Michigan State? That was the cry against Purdue. Hey, if
minimum,
tonight you get knocked down 12 threes, you could be all right.
At minimum, you got to hit the boards again.
You do. I mean, you cannot get beat 17-15 on the boards.
That's the thing that to me stands out the most, just looking at the box scores, how badly they got hit on the boards by Ohio State. They've been much better than that most games.
And the other thing is the start. The two games where they've gotten off to poor starts were Michigan State and Ohio State, and those games got away from them quickly. So get it fired up. Get the crowd into the game early. Make Michigan State. Michigan State had 25 turnovers against Illinois.
Yeah.
This is not a lockdown, airtight Michigan State.
This is a very difficult ask on Saturday. But guess what? Down the stretch, they've got games they can win, including on the road. They go to Rutgers, even though it's a quick turnaround. They come home to Minnesota and Illinois. They can win both of those. They go to Iowa. They go to Nebraska. Nebraska's playing very well. They can win at Iowa. Nebraska will be a tough one. Then they come home to Ohio State, who,
last night of the season.
A couple days off beforehand, playing a home game, senior night, all that kind of stuff. There's no reason they couldn't do that either.
But
so
there are
some games.
They have to do it. It's not like in football where they're going to give you three turnovers at the 10-yard line. You have to perform and do it yourself.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday night, so tune in then. Again, high school basketball tomorrow night. North is at Edgewood. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, so tune in then, and we'll talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.